The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Now, the government is expected to sign off on the move of the National Maternity Hospital to Elm Park at today's cabinet meeting. You heard from Stephen Donnelly there on his way into cabinet, who expects that green light. This follows a 2-week pause on the decision to allow time to examine the details of the move. Now, the plan has been the subject of much political consternation as concerns about private ownership of the land and a potential religious ethos on the part of the St. Vincent's Healthcare Group have been debated and debated. A Sinn Féin motion demanding the hospital be built on public land will be voted on in the Dáil later this evening. I'm joined now by Nasa Hurricane, Green Party TD for Dublin Central and party spokesperson on finance and health, who still has reservations. Nasa, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, what is your position? You've called for a further pause. Why?
Well, we got the original pause because there were a number of questions around the deal that we really need clarity on. And in the programme for government, it does state that this deal can move forward when those governance issues, those questions about it have been answered. And I don't feel that that bar has been met. And I like to think that the pause was in good faith. But, you know, if it was in good faith, you know, giving that extra time for scrutiny, then, you know, it kind of follows that you would address the questions raised. And unfortunately, that doesn't seem to be the case. It does seem that it will be signed off by Cabinet without any changes. Mm. And certainly none of the three things that I asked for, which was the release of all of the documentation around the transfer of shares, either the deletion or the clarity given to the term clinically appropriate. And finally, to ensure that the hospital would be a centre of excellence for reproductive health by making a professorship around abortion care.
The professorship around abortion care, presumably that could follow. I mean, that they are talking about it being a centre of excellence. But in the meantime, the other two, maybe they are impossible asks. Release of the documents. You're asking for what? An exchange of the documents between the Vatican and the sisters to be released?
Yeah, look, to be clear, I think my chief concern here is more around the money and the business case and the corporate nature of this deal. But I recognise that a huge amount of people who don't have faith in this deal are concerned around the religious aspects. And I think one way to put that to bed would be to simply release all of the documents around that decision-making process and around the agreement that was made between St. Vincent's and the permission that they sought from the Vatican. I think that would go a long way to ensuring that people felt confident that this really has been put to bed in terms of that religious aspect. But when it comes to the phrase clinically appropriate, what we did find out in the last 2 weeks, and obviously we didn't get answers to lots of questions, but what we did find out is that the term clinically appropriate is there at the behest of the HSE and the department, mm-hmm. that St. Vincent's don't have any objection to some clarity being brought to that phrase, and the National Maternity Hospital don't have any objection to some clarity being brought to that phrase. And I think in that context, it would be worth taking the time to amend the documents so that is done. Because my fear here is that clinically appropriate very much puts the onus and the focus on the clinicians. And in many cases, that's correct, because obviously they're the experts.
Yep.
However, in some areas of healthcare, like disability or like, for example, mental health, the rights of the person have to be vindicated within those contexts. And we don't see that language anywhere in the documentation. So there's a huge issue about women's rights and healthcare and reproductive healthcare in Ireland, and we need to see that language in the documentation. So it should be possible to either remove the term clinically appropriate, clarify what that means, or add to it so that there is rights-based language there.
Yeah. The people who are looking at this, and the HSE has one view of what clinical appropriate may mean, and the critics or perhaps the forensic examiners of this think that in a future time, in maybe a future court, that clinically appropriate can be ambiguous and therefore they want it clarified. What are the clinical issues that you think might be of concern? I mean, are we talking about someone who wants a sterilization and the doc says, you're only 24, it's not appropriate, no? Or someone who wants maybe a stem cell treatment or someone who wants a termination?
I mean, all of those things would kind of fall under the banner of issues that I'm worried about. And just to say, I think that even the master of the National Maternity Hospital has accepted that there is ambiguity in the phrase. And certainly in the last 2 weeks, over the course of all of those sessions, we have heard a number of definitions of clinically appropriate. So I think it's kind of accepted now that can be interpreted in a number of ways. And obviously, you know, if this hospital is going to be on that site for possibly 299 years, there are treatments that we haven't dreamt of yet that might be available to people. Hopefully there will be. And I think clinically appropriate just situates all of the decision-making on the system, on institutions and on clinicians. And of course, quite rightly, the women of Ireland have a bit of trepidation about that because we don't have a good history there.
Now, we can cope, though, with what is legally permitted at the moment and, you know, the state of clinical knowledge at the moment. So it doesn't seem to be too much of a difficulty. The maternity hospital, the National Maternity Hospital, doesn't have a problem with it. So we could put in a non-exhaustive or non-exclusive list, but which will include the procedures,
yes,
which
yeah,
are...
I mean,
that is not difficult.
Absolutely not, and I, you know, anybody who's had any kind of contract law, any have come up against it in their own work, will be very familiar with the phrase "including but not limited to," and simply to set out what services could be available to people here or should be. I do think, and you know, the idea of the professorship is actually one put forward by the Irish Planning, Irish Family Planning Association. I think one of the concerns here is that while technically these services could be provided on the site, that they won't be freely or often given. And I think one way to allay those concerns would be to ensure that, you know, we really do make our National Maternity Hospital a centre of excellence for those kind of services, as it should be, because it's part and parcel. That's what we learned during repeal. Those kind of services are part and parcel of many people's maternity story.
Yeah. Now, one of the interpretations of clinically appropriate was the notion that this can only be a maternity hospital. Now, already we know that dermatology is going to be squeezed in there because the dermatology unit is its land or its space has been taken by the new hospital. So there's got to be, obviously, and there is in the contract, a caveat about that. But the idea that it's just to be exclusively maternity, and that's why they put it in. And the idea was, if you've got a trolley crisis, that you can't use some of the spare space in the maternity hospital for ordinary patients who are suffering from the winter vomiting bug or the flu or COVID 25 or whatever it might be. That doesn't actually sit very well with me, because if you have a pandemic, if you have a national emergency and all hands have to be on deck, and then someone drags up this 2022 constitution and says, sorry, no more trolleys here. I know that the other hospital is absolutely overrun and people are dying of the plague or whatever, but we're not going to treat them here, even though we have space.
Well, you know, if that is the function of the phrase, I don't think legally it's going to do that job. And I'm not a legal expert, but as you can see, you can interpret it a number of ways. And already we know that there's not just the dermatology unit is going to be contained in this building, but there's a number of shared services, including, I believe, the canteen and some staff services that are actually going to be housed in this new building. So the idea that it's constrained just to maternity care doesn't really stand up. So, you know, if that's the legal instrument through which they're going to constrain those kind of services, I don't accept that it will do that job, because it seems, you know, if even people like me who are not trained in the legal professions can see the holes in that argument, I'm sure a more expert barrister or legal mind can do so.
The legal end of it, I mean, the notion that every building built on this land for the next 299 years will effectively be in possession of the St. Vincent's group, that doesn't sit well with some people. They feel it should be wholly owned, even though the peppercorn rent of 10 euros a year is trifling. But the notion that they could mortgage a building built by the state for maybe €1 billion after 20 years, that's something that only emerged in my consciousness in recent days. And that's a bit of a worry.
It is. Look, I suppose it speaks to how complex this set of arrangements is and how kind of labyrinthine the documents are. And it's worth saying right now that if it was a public hospital built on more on a public land, even through a more public model, these wouldn't be quite as complex. However, Yes, they can leverage the site and they can take out a mortgage against the leasehold. So it's not the building or the land itself, but the leasehold. And it is worth saying that yesterday in session, we heard a lot from St. Vincent's that, of course, that rent is €10 per year. But not only, obviously, can that be increased to €850,000 if there is some kind of conflict between the leaser and the lessee, but also, and something we haven't talked a lot about, is that can be reviewed every 10 years. So that €850,000 sum only lasts for the first 10 years, and then there is review of the land value. And obviously the land value will tack against land values in Dublin more broadly, and I don't expect land values in Dublin
But I mean, if you can't get hold of the land, I mean, you can't knock down the hospital and build flats. You know, the idea of mortgaging just for the land, which is non-accessible, doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. However, if that land has a very expensive building built on it, and that if the St. Vincent Group was to default on the loan, that whole leasehold would come into the possession of the bank, that would make for a very interesting situation. Whereby the
let's not pretend that there isn't big money in it's worth saying that St. Vincent's are a charity. However, in the provision of private healthcare, there is serious money and investment involved, and the idea that the banks wouldn't see it as a valuable asset, I don't think stands up to scrutiny, and I absolutely think that should be borne in mind, that we would be investing in a public asset that might have a private profit aspect.
Now, there's a text here from Brian, and maybe he makes a lot of sense. No one here seems to understand that laws can be changed. Roe v. Wade looks likely to be struck down in the United States, so things could change here too. So, build a hospital, meet the needs of today's women, and then practice constant vigilance to protect women's health into the future. That's Brian saying, look, get on with it, but beware, be vigilant.
Well, first of all, what I would say is the three things that I asked of Cabinet are things that could have been done without delaying the project. So that's worth saying, first of all. Second of all, this is constant vigilance. You're watching it in action, because one of my chief concerns here is what this means for Sláintecare. So this is a highly corporatized deal. It's between, a private entity, even though that entity is a charity, and the state. We are moving towards a model of healthcare where every single contract in a public hospital with consultants should be a Sláintecare contract. Now, when you are sharing your building with a private entity where consultants are running private clinics, I'm not sure how we attain that then. So what does this mean for Sláintecare? What does this model of care mean for Sláintecare? That's the kind of constant vigilance we need to ensure that we get the universal healthcare that would really make a difference to women's lives.
Finally, Nasa, this whole question of the value for money audit, which we're waiting the result of, I mean, is that presumed to be a foregone conclusion?
I don't think these projects don't come up very often, and the minister said that to me himself in session. That, we've seen with the Children's Hospital, it's very hard to put a price at the beginning of these large, long-term projects that is going to be meaningful in terms of the construction costs. But I have to say, if I was sitting at Cabinet, I would be wanting to have a business case that was signed off and made sense, and I wouldn't be giving the go-ahead for something that didn't have that and had been returned for review because the business case didn't stand up. And the fact that we have gone ahead on that site with commencement works and car parks in conjunction with a private entity without the business case being signed off, I think is highly questionable.
Nasa, thank you very much for joining us. That's Nasa Harrigan, Green Party TD for Dublin Central and party spokesperson on finance and health. A lot of people saying just get on with it, others demurring, but no doubt we'll get the result from the Cabinet meeting later today.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m.